to the Other Side of Blackpool podcast. And if you live here in Blackpool, this show's for you. From high up in our attic room studio on Church Street, we share the true stories of what life is really like in Blackpool. Stories that are often overlooked, hidden, or under-celebrated. Well, hello, and welcome back to a new year and to the first podcast of 2024. We are sitting in the palatial surroundings of Manda's House, formerly the World Healing Centre on Lytham Road, and they've let us have their beautiful boudoir in order to speak about what's coming up this year. We've just been involved with a group called Blackpool Can, Community Action Network, who've got funds to give away to community groups that are doing good things between now and March. If you're looking for £2,000, you probably need to get on the CAN website and find out a bit more about that. So thanks to Manda's House and to Blackpool CAN, and we're going to kick off and start to look forward to our new year. Our work is all about listening to Blackpool's hardest pressed residents, and we listen over lunch every week, and we take issues to the leaders of the town, and it's what we do. And today I'm here with my friend and colleague from the Poverty Truth Project in Blackpool, Emma Jackson. Hello, Emma.
Hi, morning.
And a new friend, David Baxter, who we met through the disability rights work we've been doing. David found us through his support for head and neck charity Swallows. Hello, David.
Yes, hello, everybody.
And to Chrissy Wright, who's joining the team this year to support mums and dads worried about social media bullying of their children. Hello again, Chrissy.
Hi, everyone.
And in a moment, we'll hear more from David and Chrissy. But first, it wouldn't be a Poverty Truth production without some special offers, would it, Emma?
Of course.
So this is the part of the show where you share what's free or nearly free to enjoy in the town. So what's new at the start of this new year?
Yeah, so with it being the new year, the Borrow It Blackpool project have got an offer on at the minute just for January. So if you sign up for the annual membership, it's completely free. And with Borrow It Blackpool, you can get in touch. You can borrow things like lawnmowers or sanders or sewing machines, whatever it was. They've got a whole stack of things that you can borrow, whatever it may be. If you can't afford to buy one, why not borrow it?
Great
so
idea.
Usually the annual fee, the membership fee, is £10, but like I say, they're wavering that for January. Also, if there's any items of the larger kind that you want to borrow, you can use the discount code JAN50 and that'll get it you half price as well.
Get borrowing Blackpool.
I know.
Great stuff.
And of course, I wanted to let you know about the Old Electric. So the Old Electric is on Springfield Road in Blackpool. It used to be, it was the waterfront, and then it was Club Sanook after that. And they've got a full packed schedule of things down there. I just wanted to give you the email address and the phone number first, just in case you need it. It's info@theoldelectric.co.uk, and their phone number is 01253 834 175. So on Mondays they've got singing and music making from 6:30 till 8:30. Everyone 18 years plus can go along to that. On Tuesdays they've got the Electric Pink Voices, which is their LGBTQ plus choir. That's from 6:30 till 8:30. On Wednesday they've got a playwriting group that meet up at the same times, 6:30 till 8:30. On Thursdays they've got a non-working men's club, which is 9:30 a.m. till 11:00. So it's like Cubs and Scouts, but for grown men, basically.
Right.
Thursdays as well, they've got a creative sign language group, which learn sign language through song and dance. And yeah, it's just a fun session. That's 6:30 till 7:30. And all of these activities that they've got on the schedule are completely free.
Wonderful.
So yeah, no charge whatsoever. They have got other groups that meet up at the Old Electric on Springfield Road that you can pay for these activities. And these include things like clubbersize, burlesque and life drawing as well.
Emma, thank
yes.
you so much for that comprehensive run around all the special offers in town. And those things really lend themselves, don't they, to, New Year's resolutions, things that you'd really like to do more of.
Yeah, sing, people fancy dance, a bit of paint. Something new. Yes, definitely.
Great stuff. Okay, so thanks, Emma. And let's get stuck into the cases that we're taking forward for residents this year. And first of all, we're going to be calling all patients of Blackpool Victoria Hospital, which, as you know, is a little way out of town and somewhat difficult to get to and from if you don't have a car or any money for the bus. Now, you might remember hearing on the podcast from Chris, who used to work at the hospital. He talked to us about the confusion he saw when the hospital cut their taxi budget from thousands of pounds a month to nothing. Here's him talking about one woman who was at the unfortunate end of that policy decision.
I also came across one lady who was supporting, and she'd got there in a wheelchair, and one of the wheels on her wheelchair was broken, and I did ask to make sure that she was given hospital transport to get home. And when I spoke to this lady the next day, it turns out she'd been told she didn't meet the criteria for hospital transport, so she had to have a friend come from the centre of Blackpool and push her on a three-wheeled wheelchair all the way back to where she was staying at the time.
So there's somebody who didn't meet the criteria, and Chris saw that with his own eyes. He and other workers at the hospital came to our group and told their stories, and as a result, together we led a nine-month investigation which had publicity in the Gazette. And finally, at the end of last year, we finally got sight of the policy, the criteria, all 13 pages of it, which set out what is available to patients who don't have the bus fare home and don't have a car either. And now, in addition, the hospital has kindly agreed that real residents can road test this policy. In other words, people who wouldn't read those 13 pages can come to the hospital, hear the policy, and share with hospital leaders how useful it is, how it would help them to get to know about it. And the first meeting of the road testers is coming up at the end of the month, Monday the 29th of January, at 1:30 at the hospital. So if you're someone who struggles to get to and from the hospital for these reasons, and you'd be interested to be part of a residence policy road test group, then you're very welcome. Please get in touch with us through our Facebook page, The Other Side of Blackpool. And it's January, so it's cold, and the big bills are coming in, and oh yeah, the council tax bills are landing on the doorsteps this month. So Emma, what are we to advise residents with who are struggling with the heating bills, with the council tax bills? And really, we have to remember that there's no government help this winter for people who are struggling in this way to heat their home. Do you know what's available to Blackpool residents?
All I can say is if you put your address into Google and look for your nearest community centre or churches as well, because the churches have got funds to help people out with bills or with, you know, if they needed small heaters or any items that they needed so that they could use the funds that you've got to actually cover their bills. That is your first step, really. And don't be frightened if you've never been into your local community centre or church. Of course, there's always going to be a welcome and probably a nice hot drink as well when you get there too. But of course, at Empowerment Charity, they've got members of staff that will help with cost of living crisis work. And just to have that telephone conversation first, then you can get to know somebody, and then you're going to trust in them, aren't you? But there are people out in the community and places to go. And we're just all here to help, aren't we?
Yeah. So if you want to speak to somebody really nice like Emma, then you can reach her at Empowerment in Bispham in Blackpool. There are a couple of other things. We do know people on our group of residents who are really struggling with the council tax. And we know that there's an email address, revenues@blackpool.gov.uk. If you contact the people there and ask for a hardship form, there is a way to apply for help with your council tax if you are really struggling to pay. But please keep in touch with us through our Facebook page, The Other Side of Blackpool. We'd love to assist if we can, point you in the right direction. Now, In the week before Christmas, we hosted a very special guest. No, it wasn't Santa Claus. It was the Anglican bishop in Lancashire, Philip North, who came to us in Leighton, where we were meeting, to hear the work we've been doing. And he listened to a video which featured our own Chrissy Wright. Here she is talking about the story that inspired her to speak to the group of residents that meet regularly, our group, and to lead on what has become her own special project.
My daughter is only 14, but she's been bullied at school for 5 years. Parents have limited success at getting the school or the police involved in the issues. Now we have decided to go direct to the parents with advice about how to handle the dangers to teens and the families on bullying in school, out school, and online abuse.
Well, Chrissy, that's what brought you here. And this week was your first week working with us on the Poverty Truth Network. And can you tell us something about what you hope for the work this year?
Well, with us just like having one day. So I think I managed to get I spoke to a few parents on the first day, got a few ideas, maybe doing a TikTok, giving advice on bullying and whatnot. On TikTok, because everyone seems to be using TikTok rather than Facebook now. So it's just trying to reach as many people as we can. So first day, not too bad. Spoke to a few parents. It's just trying to collect or trying to get more parents to come and speak. So I'm doing research, still looking on Facebook. One of the people I've been talking to, it's just I noticed she was having trouble and she'd actually put it on Facebook. So I messaged her and got talking, and she's interested, and they just seemed to be on the wit's end, really.
Yeah.
So I think it was good that she could talk and get things off her chest.
That's great, Chrissy. And we've always had this dream, haven't we, that, you know, it's easy to be marginalised or overlooked by the authorities when it's just one child or it's just one mum. But many mums all joined together can make more of a noise, and finding those issues that unite them all, and also the tips and the things they've learnt about how to manage the situation. You've been on this podcast since the very beginning, since we started, Chrissy, and you've learnt so much since going through this with your own daughters. Do you have an idea of some of the hints and tips you would give your fellow mums?
The advice I would give to kids personally is just be themselves, be true to who they are. Just don't listen, just follow who you are. And you get the right friends by doing that. Even to adults now need to learn that. Just be true to who you are and the right people will follow you. Three top tips for adults, though, would be if you are having problems, keep a diary of any events that happen. Yeah. Doesn't matter how small, write it down. Then you've got the time, the date of where it happened, etc. Find a teacher your child actually trusts and build a relationship with that teacher, which is important. And making time for your child, and it doesn't matter how small the issue is, just find time to sit and listen to them. It's a big, big one.
Lovely. And I get the feeling that you do that a lot. And right behind us, we do have Chrissy's family who've come in to listen to the recording. Thumbs up to the tips. Yeah, right round the table. Well done, Chrissy, and welcome to the team. We're really looking forward to catching up with you about what you're doing over the weeks and months with us. Over to David then. David Baxter, you got involved in our work on the Disability Forum. And just to explain to new listeners that the Disability Forum got started after we here in the Poverty Truth Project brought a case about disability sports in Blackpool. We asked why facilities were poor in relation to what was provided for able-bodied sports people. And that opened a door to more cases, including one from a mum that we're about to hear from. It was David Baxter who came alongside this story and sort of said, maybe I can give some support to this young mum and maybe there's something that I can do to help here. So first of all, let's listen to Charlotte. She spoke to the Disability Forum about how her council-funded bus service that got her special needs child to school in the morning had to be withdrawn and what that was like.
I've had it for 3 years, free transport, and it's always been an absolute help for me because I can't, I've got another son who goes to Leighton School, so I can't be in two places at once. Their dad has work at 6:30 in the morning, so it leaves me alone. But the council decided to decline it, and they said it's outside of the scope of the policy why it was declined, okay, but it doesn't specify which
policy.
So the council declined the service saying the son no longer met the policy but didn't say which policy. David, how do you think that you can help in this circumstance with this mum?
Well, I think what I'm going to say will apply to Charlotte as an example and a specific case that we've got, but it could apply to many other people as well. And first of all, there's a strategy, and then there are tactics within that strategy. The strategy is really threefold. That when something like this happens, that a person finds that they are being disadvantaged by a local policy, the first thing they have to do is prepare an understanding of what exactly that policy is. It doesn't work simply to react against the result of a change. One needs to know what the policy is. Now, what might have happened here with Charlotte and could happen to other people is a policy changes for some reasons. And so that requires more preparation to understand the change. So what can I do in that world? Well, I can help by looking at the policy. Mm-hmm. I can look at council minutes with her and for her. And together we can come to a conclusion as to what was the policy and why was there a change. And then importantly, how did it fit to her circumstances? So preparation's the first part. The next piece is presentation. What Charlotte and other people always need to do is to make some representation to the policymakers. And to do this, you can do it in a written way or you can do it orally. Now, many people find one or both quite difficult. So I could help with either or both. How would I do that? Well, let's talk about what the problem is and let's try to write it down between the two of us. It's not for me to dictate to someone what they should write, but for them to try to write it in their own words, in the context of what the situation is. The more difficult part is if it comes to an oral, a personal presentation. Many people find this difficult. Mm-hmm. But I'm not at the moment dear listeners, reading from a script, but sometimes people are. And it's not difficult for a circumstance like this for someone to work up a little piece of a script that they can practice. And that's the key word, practice with me. There's another way of doing the practice, and that gets into what is, I'll call the third part, which is persuasion. How do you persuade people to do what it is that you want them to do? And in particular, in this case, how can you get your point across to counsellors? Well, one way of doing that is to try to understand their perspective, what it is that they are required to do, what it is that they want to do to show that they're representing their constituents, the people in the community. Think of it from their point of view. But then, with regard to practicing, practice it again, but pretend you are the counsellor. And so what could I do here? It would be what we'd call a role play. Yeah. I could be Charlotte and Charlotte could be the counsel. And we could have a little chat about how it works. And she could ask me the difficult questions and I would try to answer them. Brilliant. This could give her confidence, experience, knowledge and an opportunity. Yeah. And one final thing. And it's an inventive way. It may work, it may not work. One could create a video of Charlotte presenting her case in situ, in her house, with her children. It would only last a few minutes, and it would be practiced and rehearsed and presented as a part of her case to the council. I doubt whether they get many like that, but that would certainly give her a degree of confidence and competence in putting the case forward. So those are the things I could help with.
Well, that's certainly feel like we've got more than our money's worth there. Thank you very much, David. You are you not, somebody who also treads the boards? We can tell that you bring something of the actor mentor with you when you present today. Am I right? Or
this is a part of my experience. Yes, I've been for some years now involved in a local drama group. I'm not going to do publicity at the moment, but the show will be on in February at the Little Theatre in Thornton. But at the moment, I'm acting as a trustee of that organisation. Yes. But prior to that, in a part of my career, I was a management trainer, so a lot of my activity has been spent standing up in front of large groups of people and trying to convince them that what I was telling them was adequate, correct, comprehensive and proper for
lovely.
Them.
Lovely, lovely. Well, thank you for loaning your services to us. We should say that in Charlotte's case, we have written to the council to offer them a chance to see how this policy or the withdrawal of the service, the policy relating to that, how that's going down in Blackpool and what the effects are, not only on the family, but on the unemployment and school attendance and on the environment, as there are loads of cars going to schools now instead of a smaller number of buses, if you see what I mean. So we've asked the council for an audience, really, to present the case of this mum and perhaps others. And presumably you'd be happy to help other yes. parents who are struggling in this way. So if you're listening and you've got a child who's had this service withdrawn and it's something that you'd like to say something about, please get hold of us on our Facebook page. And we're here to help and support. Thank you very much, David. Well, now, before we go, I just want to have a quick check back with Emma to see if there's any news about keeping warm this winter that we've missed, any news about what's available in town. Emma?
Just if anybody wanted the opportunity to get out. So this time last year, we had the Warm Hubs were funded. It was like it was a COVID-funded thing originally. And then because the cost of living has gone up, then it reappeared last winter as well. And it's on again this time round. So a lot of them have started now, 8th of January, and they're going to run until the 22nd of March. And there's no need to book for any of these drop-ins. And of course, if you need somebody to talk to, in regards to anything, really, they're definitely going to be the right places to be to get more information should you need it. Or if you just want to take the weight off and have a nice, hot, free meal from courtesy of my chef, then you can do. Do you want me to run you through the yes. days of the week? And
what about the kind of the places where there are hubs in Blackpool? So we know there's one at the football club. We know there's one at Revo.
There's one at Highfield Road, mm-hmm. one at Spencer Court, just off Talbot Road in town as well. Mm-hmm. Then you've got, there's two up in Bispham, up near the college that way, Lostock Gardens and Boston Way. But there's one of the Warm Hubs every day of the week.
Wonderful.
Every day of the week.
Thank you so much, Emma, our Warm Hub correspondent. You're never very far from a Warm Hub. And as Emma says, it's not just heat you'll get, but you'll get a hot drink and food and somebody to talk to. So we hope that helps through these difficult winter days. Well, if you've listened to all this and think, I wouldn't mind being part of that, or I've got something to share, please be aware that we're meeting again on the 24th of January. That's our usual old Wednesday lunchtime. That's our next meeting, 12 till 2, at Holy Trinity Church, right by the Pleasure Beach. And let us know you're coming via the other side of Blackpool, or just rock up and there'll be food and we'd love to meet you. Listen, thanks to our guests, Chrissy, David and Emma.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks all for listening. Happy New Year. You've been listening to the Other Side of Blackpool podcast for people who live here all year round. We're a dream of the Poverty Truth Network in Blackpool and the Fylde Coast. Find out more at povertytruthnetwork.org. If you like us, follow us and leave us a review.